continue to move forward, and I guess we say part two.
All right now.
Of what God blessed us with on last week. And last week, the question was proposed to us, was it love or lust? And so we continue to read and see what God thought about what David did. So in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, we shall pick up reading at the 7th verse, and I'll read 7 through 12, supporting scripture this morning coming from Galatians 6 and 7. The Bible reads, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." The basis of our thinking from verse 11, "Thus said the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun." Galatians 6 and 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The basis of those verses, we like to speak from the thought this morning, what goes around comes around. For the Bible declared that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So it's good if you got it, and if you need it, God's got it. Hallelujah. So we thank God for being that kind of God that has all the provisions that we need. We trust him, and if we ask him in faith, heard someone say he may not come when you want him, but he will be on time. So we thank God for being God and for loving us so much that he created us from the dust of the ground and allowed his precious breath to be blown into our nostrils, and we became living souls. And as we live knowing that we are going to die, but as we die with the expectation that we shall live again. Hallelujah. So we look at it as the circle of life. We go through life, we pass through death, but we get back to life. So it's all right to be here this morning and know that every day is not going to be a sunny day. Every day things are not going to quite go your way. But we thank God for being the God that blessed us for this day. And it's again that God has blessed us, and he's allowed us an opportunity to come together to worship him and to praise him and to just give him glory. And as we come to give God praise, and even during our devotional times and our praise and worship, all of us have a testimony. All of us have something that we can say that the Lord God has done for us. And if we would be honest with ourselves, all you got to do is just look around. You can look in the mirror in the morning and see a blessing. Regardless to what you may feel like, regardless to some mornings what we might look like, you're still looking at a blessing. And so I just thank God for being that God that is able to bless us and keep us even in a time such as this. We should be thankful that God is exactly who he is. He loves us in the way that he loves us and for all the things that he continues to do. He just keeps on doing great things. And as God blesses us, we ought to be thankful because we learned from our parents before we knew who God was, because we didn't know who God was until somebody told us about it. No, you didn't come here all knowing. You came here as a baby, and somebody had to train you and nurture you and love you and let you know that there is a higher power. And isn't it a good thing that you learn how to get on board and realize that you didn't make yourself? You may be a hard worker, but you don't create your own strength. All of our strength comes from the Lord. And so we must give God thanks despite of who we are, or what we've done, or where we might be in life right now. God is still worthy of praise. Reality of life tells us that we were born in sin, we were shaped in iniquity, and so we know that there are times in our lives that we've been out of the will of God. But isn't it a joy to know that we belong to a God that can do the impossible? A God that loves us with an unconditional love. A God that continues to supply our needs. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be alive and aware of where my help comes from. You got to know that there comes a time that you can't trust self. You got to trust the God that is in you. And we find that as we are living right here in our small community, in the midst of us, there's all types of sickness and all of the numbers of deaths that have been going on day by day, week by week, and we've had here right in our community. Because of those things, we ought to be constantly praying for one another and trying to get a closer walk with God. We find it easy to say that it's them today, but it could have been me, but it needs to be more than just words. You need to know that when you make that statement, you are saying something that has power. You're saying something that is covered with grace and mercy, because none of us have been so good that God had to look beyond us or pass over us to get our brother or our sister. But what we have to understand is that each and every one of us, we just have our own particular time. God got our time set, and we don't know when that time is going to be. So that's why the Bible declares that we should work while it's day. For night coming when no man can work, but you don't know when your night is going to be. So while we have an opportunity, while the blood is yet running warm in our veins, we ought to be able to tell our God, thank you. As we get closer to him, we know that God is able to bring us peace, and he gives us confidence that everything will be all right. There have been times that we were almost ready to give up in despair, but that small, still voice spoke to us and said, hold on and hold out, because I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And I hear your humble cry. Anybody know that when you call on the Lord will hear you. And you can't allow the enemy to make you think that God has a deaf ear to your call. God listens to his children because he loves us and he made us. And because of his love, we can say that I might not be where I want to be, but I thank God with God, I can move forward and be everything that the Lord God would have me to be. In this life that we live, there comes a time that trials and troubles will come. But when they come, let us hold fast to the faith that we got in God. We belong to a loving and a capable God. And when we think about God, the Bible declares that we need to lean not unto our own understanding, but allow the Lord our God to lead and direct our very paths. As we asked the question on last week, was it love or was it lust? Some of us felt that it was just lust because it was forbidden territory. Then others considered the prospect of it being love. Then it could have been stated that as a result of love, lust, it turned out to be real love. So we got to understand that we serve a God that knows our intentions and our motives, and don't nobody know you like Jesus. In fact, the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves, because he already know what we got planned for next week. He already know what we got in our minds. And so in the midst of his all-knowing being, he still blesses us despite what we think in our mind. Isn't it a good thing to know that we serve a God that will love us? Even if the wrong thoughts pass through our mind, he still lets you breathe his breath. He still feeds you when you get hungry. He still continues to make a way out of no way. So we still got a lot to be thankful for. When we think about the mercy of God and the grace of God, God's grace is that unmerited favor that he shows to us when we have stepped out of the boundaries, when we have done those things that he was not pleased with. But I thank God that he is a forgiving God. God is able to deliver us, and God is able to let us know that he is God all by himself. He makes sure that we are in a position to do what he wants us to do. Some of us like to be a little judgmental when we see the Lord blessing or using somebody, and we may even question God, why would you use him or why would you use her? I know some things about them that they may not be qualified to stand or to say this, that, or the other, but you don't know the flip side of what God has intended for them. Because God has a way of using that individual that will bring somebody to realize that if God can use me, he can also use you. Is there anybody that realized that you are not so special that God just put a tower around you, a wall of partition around you, but that wall is around all of us? For the Bible declares, in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his mighty pavilion. Somebody in here know what trouble is. Somebody know that trouble is easy to get into and hard to get out of. But how many of you know that in the midst of your trouble, God is still right there? How many of you know that God is always the one that will bring you through, even though every now and again there's a helping hand? When you look at that hand, you got to understand that God also holds that helping hand. We got to remember what God has done for us, and we got to know that if it's for us, it is going to be for us. I thank God for the word of God where it says, no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. Because there's somebody that don't want you to succeed. Somebody don't want you to have joy. There's somebody that don't even want you to claim salvation. There are folk that believe that you're nothing, you're never going to be nothing, and they're not expecting you to be anything, but you got to learn how to have your own mind. You got to know that just because they say you're not anything, that don't make you not be anything. It's what the Lord God has said, and the Lord God said, everything that I made is good. Now, the good that I made every now and again do some evil and do some things wrong, but we got to understand that's why we are also yet a work in progress. The enemy thinks that he has destroyed your character, but you got to hold on and hold out and know that there comes a time when it seems like you're backed up against the wall and you don't know how you're going to come out, and it seems like things are really getting a little bleak and it's getting dark and you're looking for the sunshine somewhere, but it's still dark. But then you realize that just when you needed the Lord the most, God stepped right into that situation, and just when you got ready to say, I don't know what I'm going to do, you were able to flip that and say, but God, God heard my humble cry. God realized that I need him, and God was right there when I needed him the most. There's somebody in here that the doctor shook his head, but God said, I'm the one that made you. I'm the one that got everything under control. We ought to have a lot of folk in here that got a but God spirit to know that it's not about you anyhow. It's about the power of God. It's about the love of God. It's about the grace and the mercy of God. And as we reflect back on what God has done, then we also have to realize that, as I said earlier, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't let us point the finger at David and think that he's the only one that has ever committed a sin. David committed a sin when he slept with another man's wife, then set her husband up to be killed to cover up his sin. After the time of mourning, he took her to be his own wife. And because of this union together, a child was born. But how many of you heard that God don't like ugly? That there's something about God. God can do something to make you realize that I'm still watching. I'm still in control. And there are times when you think that I got away, but you can't get away from God. You can't hide from the Lord. I found in the word of God, if you go to the highest heights, God said, I'm there. If you go down to the lowest depth, God said, I'm there. You can climb the highest mountain and God will be on the peak of the mountaintop. But I thank God that even if you get down in the gutter, God can reach you right there in the gutter and lift you back up out of that mess. Ain't anybody glad that you're not where you used to be? No, when you don't have much, you appreciate it. You take care of what you got. When you got a whole lot, you don't know what you got no way, so it don't really bother your mind. But it's a sad thing as we look here in the Word of God. The poor man nourished the lamb. They grew up together. Gave the lamb his own meat. Allowed the lamb to drink out of his own cup. Laid the lamb sometimes on his bosom, and he was just like a daughter. Just like, you know how some of you pet lovers, where the pet lovers at in the house? I know we got some in here. There you are. You take that little puppy, lay him in your bosom, talk to him like he's a person, gives you company, gives you confidence, lets you know that I'm not by myself because I don't have children, but I got my baby. And somebody came in and took your, I almost said a little mutt. Sorry, pet folk. I'm just not a pet person. But somebody came in and took that thing that was so precious to you. And now, what we have here, the fourth verse says that there was a traveler coming through. Now, I love going back into history because it lets us know why we ought to have good hospitality and why we ought to not mind opening our doors to somebody, because in that time when they traveled such a long way and this man done come a long way and he traveled through and he's stopping by the rich man's house, and the custom is to make sure that you wash their feet and you make sure that you give them something to eat. So now look at what the rich man does. He spared not his own flock for the man that had come along. But he took the poor man's lamb, dressed it for the man, and brought it to him. Now, as David pondered on what Nathan said, David didn't realize that he had been set up. So David looked at the matter in a very honest way. He didn't look at it as if he were being put on the spot. But he looked at it in a way that he said, now, here's a rich man that got a whole lot. And it bothered David because the rich man took the poor man's one lamb when he could have used one of his own. So now, David, being the king, David probably thought in his mind, none of my subjects, none of those that are under my rule, are going to treat folk that kind of way. Because I don't like it that you took advantage of the poor man. The poor man didn't have but one little lamb. And I don't like it that you took that lamb. So the Bible declared David's anger was so greatly kindled that he said unto Nathan, so as the Lord liveth, that man that have done this thing shall surely die. So now David want to know, where is the man? I got something to tell this man. This man is getting ready to realize that this don't happen in my kingdom. Man getting ready to realize that he ought to restore the lamb fourfold. In fact, when you mistreat somebody, you ought to give back more than what you got in the first place. But we find here in the word of God, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel. David began to hear what Nathan had to say. Nathan now is speaking just like a prophet. For Nathan says, I anointed thee king of Israel. For the way the Bible reads, thus said the Lord God of Israel. When the Lord gets ready to speak, God began to tell David, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house. I gave you your master's wives and allowed them to come into your bosom. I gave you the house of Israel and even of Judah. And I realized that if that would have been too little, I would have given you such and such. In other words, anything that you felt like that you needed. I'll give it to you because I am the Lord thy God. But wherefore thou had despised the commandment that the Lord thy God has given you. Why did you do this evil in my sight? When you know how to do the right thing, you got to learn that you can't get by doing it any kind of way. He had to be reminded that you went out and you took the wife of Uriah. You had him killed, and because of that, you brought a sword into your life. And I want to let you know that because you slain him with the sword, therefore the sword will never depart from thine house. See, when you do wrong to somebody else, that wrong is going to come to your house. You better learn that the same thing that you did to somebody else. I want to show you where what goes around comes around. This man took someone else's wife. And look what the Lord God said. The Lord God said, I'm going to raise up evil against you. I'm going to go against your very own house. I'm going to take your wife that I've already given you. I'm going to give your wives to your neighbor. And I'm not going to do it in the dark. I'm not going to do it in secret. I'm not going to do it where nobody might not know. He just reminded David that when you did your dirt, you did it in the middle of the midnight hour. When you did your dirt, you began to try to cover it up, because soon and very soon, after the morning time was over, you took that man's wife to be your own wife. And I want to let you know that the Lord God don't like it, and I know that you're going to have a child. But David said, I got to marry as soon as I can. You know how it is if you get somebody pregnant and you don't want nobody to know. You try to jump up and marry them right quick so that everybody will think that everything is all right. Is there anybody in the house that ever had to go through a shotgun wedding? You done got my daughter pregnant and you gonna marry my child. You're not gonna get away with doing it any kind of way. I wanna let you know that that seed that you done sowed, you gonna reap what you sow. Not only you're getting ready to have a child, but you getting ready have a wife too, because I want to let you know that she got to go where you go. But I come to tell somebody that the Lord God got his eyes on us. What you do in the dark is surely going to come to the light. What goes around going to come around. You got to trust God with everything that you got. I want to let you know that your neighbor that you might not even like, I'm going to give him the treasures of your heart. I'm going to give him every one of your wife. You're going to lose everything that you got, because I am the Lord thy God, and I don't like what you did on that day, but I want to let you know what the Lord God did. The Lord God said, what you did in secret, I'm going to do in the marvelous light. David said unto Nathan, I sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put thy sin away from thee. Isn't it good to be under the hand of God? Because even though David said, that man that did this thing
shall die. God let him know that it was you that did it, but because I got a job for you to do, because you are one of my chosen ones, you are not going to die, but I'm still going to show you what I'm going to do. Nathan departed and left his house, but the Bible said that the Lord called the sickness to come on that child, and when the sickness came on the child, he began to lay there, and David besought him, but David realized that my child that I love, he's so sick and I don't know what to do. For the Bible said that he laid there down on the ground. He prayed to the Lord his God. He fasted day and night. I believe he was praying to God. Oh Lord, help my child. Oh Lord, get my child out of this mess. Oh Lord, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to talk to anybody because I don't know. You might show favor. You might show me some grace. You might let my child get up off the bed of affliction. But I found in the word of God that the Lord God allowed the child to die. When you do wrong, God has a way to let you know you're done wrong. And I want to tell somebody that what goes around comes around. The Lord God began to look at David and said, everything is going to be all right. All you got to do is trust my God. The Bible said that when the child died, David looked at the people's faces, and the people looked like there was something going on. David perceived in his own heart that child must have died. So the Bible said that David got up. He began to praise the Lord. He went on to his own house and he said, bring me something to eat. I hadn't had anything to eat. I've been praying to the Lord our God. Those that were watching David said, what kind of man is this? When the child was sick, he laid there and would not eat. When the child was about to die, he wouldn't talk to nobody. But now that the child is dead, he done got up. He done realized that he is the king. He realized that my child is dead. I can't go to him. But I want to let you know that the God that we serve, he has a special thing for us. For they tell me that after that, when the child died, Bathsheba began to mourn. She was grieving over her child. But because David had fell in love with her, David loved his wife and said, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. God took our child. But I know that the Lord God will give back whatever we need. So the Bible said that when he comforted her, he went in unto her again, and she had another child. This child you know by the name of Solomon. Solomon was one of the wisest men that God ever created. I want to let you know that when the Lord got something for you, I don't care what you've done, God is going to make it work for your good. Is there anybody in the house that ever been down and out, and God picked you up out of your situation, turn your situation around, let the devil know that you are a liar? Get thee behind me, Satan, because I serve a loving God. I serve a merciful God. I serve a God that heard my humble cry, and the Lord God gave me another son, and I love my son. This son grew up to be a great man, and I want to let you know that you got to trust God with everything you got. Watch out about your dirt, because God is the only one that is able to clean you up. That's why David said, wash me, forgive me, build me up, restore my joy. When Solomon was born, I believe David got his joy back and realized that the Lord God was still on his side. So do understand that those seeds that you sow, whatever seeds you sow, you are going to reap. What goes around comes around.